Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Trampoline injury rates have been steadily decreasing. However, I, as a parent, am terrified of the things, and the American Academy of Pediatrics recently updated a report that cautions against home trampoline use. My guest is Dr. Michelle Labatz. She's a sports medicine physician at Intermed Sports Medicine Clinic in South Portland, Maine. So, Dr. Labatz, tell us about the new updated report about trampoline safety in homes.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Melanie. Appreciate the interest and the opportunity. The American Academy of Pediatrics, we just recently released our updated policy statement looking at trampoline safety in children and adolescents. This is an update of a previous policy statement back in 1999, and there have been some changes that have emerged over that period of time that really kind of prompted us to rethink and relook at this and come up with a new policy statement.
So tell us about the policy statements and what kind of injuries have you been seeing? I mean, are they pretty severe, Dr. Labatz, for trampolines?
Yeah, they have the potential to be really very severe. And that's kind of one of the guiding principles behind our strong recommendation against recreational use of trampolines, i.e., you know, the backyard trampoline that is oh so prevalent in our society these days. And, you know, one of the startling figures that I found as I was looking through this is that 1 in 200 injuries on the trampoline result in permanent neurologic damage. And so what we've seen over the past few years is in the medical literature, there have been a number of case reports of injuries that really seem to be fairly unique to trampoline use. These are some fractures that you'll see in the lower leg, but really most alarming is some of the neck injuries that really at first sometimes seem very subtle, and we wanted to alert pediatricians that if they see neck pain in one of their patients who has been spending time on a trampoline, they really need to consider that patient carefully and consider additional evaluation.
Are there any safety things that we can do, Dr. Labatz, if we know that our kids are going to a house where there's trampolines? I remember recently I was at a house and it was nighttime and we were at a child's party and there was like 7 kids in there. And I just sat there on the edge of my seat, not able to relax because I was waiting for a tooth to fall out.
Well, good for you for keeping an eye on the trampoline. That's important. And I need to kind of step back and just kind of emphasize that the take-home point of this is to recommend against that use. But there are going to be parents who, for one reason or another, aren't going to make that decision. And so we have come up with a few guidelines for, you know, how can we minimize the risk associated with trampoline use? And you kind of hit the nail on the head with the first one, that over 3/4 of injuries on the trampoline happen when there's more than one person on the mat at a time. And especially in the pediatric population, it is the youngest and smallest person on the mat that is actually 14 times more likely to sustain an injury. And that's, you know, I don't know if you saw this in your case, but bigger kids and even adults, they like to kind of popcorn the little kids up so they can really get some height, and that's fun for the little person. But it's also intrinsically dangerous that just because the trampoline mat is soft doesn't mean it's safe. When it's rebounding and coming back up, if a child should fall on it during that time, you got a 170-pound adult and a 40 to 50-pound kid, it's like a kid jumping off a 9 to 10-foot height onto a hard surface. And people don't realize those impact forces that result because the trampoline mat just seems so soft and really relatively innocuous.
Well, it is. So as a parent, I know we're advising against getting these, and I've told my kids we're not getting one. I don't even, you know, it's that netting seems, talk about innocuous, that just seems ridiculous, that netting. I don't see what the point of that is, but I mean, we used to stand around, if you think about it. Dr. Labatz, we used to stand. That was the safety mechanism, was having other little kids stand around the trampoline catch the little kid in case they fell. I mean, it seems ridiculous now, but as a parent, do you recommend parents say, no to their kids? Or, you know, I mean, if they're at another house, no, I'm sorry. Or do you just sit there and keep an eye on it, tell them not to popcorn the little guys?
Yeah.
Just try and keep it down.
You know, I mean, every parent is gonna have to make their own decision kind of based upon this information. So we wanted to make sure the information got out there. And, you know, you're exactly right that we there are a number of things that are out there that seem to make a trampoline maybe safer. So you talked about the netting, for instance. And netting probably isn't as helpful as we all wish it would be. That most of the injuries, kind of about half of the injuries, actually occur on the trampoline mat itself. So you wouldn't expect a net or even a group of people around the trampoline to really be helpful for those types of things. And when they've done studies looking at, okay, how many kids get injured when they fall off the trampoline, which is the type of injury you would expect a net to prevent, it was about one-third of people before nets became available on the market back in the late 1990s, and it's about one-third of kids are still falling off the trampoline and getting hurt. Or one-third of injuries come from falling off the trampoline now after nets have been on the market, you know, for well over a decade.
So, well, I want the parents to hear you say that. So do the nets catch you, or are you just sliding through the net, or the nets break down if somebody goes slamming into them?
Well, you know, Melanie, that's where the literature really kind of falls down. There's not enough information for us to kind of make a concise statement on that. So, because you would certainly expect that if nettings were used like they should be and in good repair, that they would prevent those types of injuries, but they don't appear to be doing so. Just kind of anecdotally, I know, like, up where we live, and you kind of drive around and you see trampolines that, well, they have a net, but it's really a name only because there's parts of it that are kind of wide open, and maybe they're installed well outside the frame of the trampoline. So it's hard to say if there's just an intrinsic issue in that netting isn't going to work, even in the best-case scenario, or is it really that the way people really use netting in real life, that it's not going to be able to do what it's designed to do, and it's really hard to kind of sort that out.
Well, I think that that's probably the case, and, you know, we see the different kinds of materials around, so I know we're not supposed to really have them on there, but what is the injury rate if there's just one child? I mean, if there's just one child and we're watching them and we say, I only want you guys on there one at a time?
Yeah. We do not know that injury rate or injury risk. And again, this is an area where there's just not a whole lot of data that's out there. Anytime you take a recreational activity, whether it's, you know, going on a bicycle or playing on a playground or going on a trampoline, the only way you can calculate what they call risk is if you know how many kids are doing it and for how long. And there's just no way to make those calculations. So, you know, based upon the patterns of injury that, and a lot of these are studies that are done in emergency rooms, some for obvious reasons, we try to tease out those behaviors and patterns that really kind of point to an increased risk of injury. But, I mean, I think you're exactly right. If you kind of step back and say, you know what, if I got a little, you know, 4 or 5 year old and they're by themselves and they're in the middle of a fairly large trampoline bed and they're just kind of jumping up and down, I mean, the injury risk is going to be much, much lower than in kind of the real life scenario that we typically see, where you get groups of people on and off the tramp and things are under much less kind of diligent control.
In the last 20 seconds or so, your best advice, Dr. Labatz, for trampoline safety.
By all means, discourage the use by your kids, but B, if you can't, one at a time. And then the other thing in terms of the neck injury, really avoid the somersaults and the front flips. That's really a very dangerous skill to try to learn.
Well, thank you so much for that great information on trampoline safety. For more information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. And you can check out Healthy Children's website at healthychildren.org or the American Academy of Pediatrics, aap.org. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.